brothers and sisters, what is truth? What is truth? That's taken from John chapter 18, verse 36 to 38. What is truth is a question that is so essential for the church today to regain their beliefs. If we do not have the truth, we will be constantly living the way we are living and not able to live in the fullness of Christ. Why does the Christian backslide? Why does the Christian fall away? Why does the Christian decide to reject the truth and not understand the truth? Brothers and sisters, there is a doctrinal vacuum in the body of Christ, and we are not emphasizing enough to help Christians to see the importance of living by the truth. It's like an amputation of the leg. If there is no truth in the church, there is an amputation of the limbs. You are not able to hold, you are not able to walk. Now, if you look into some details of the word, perhaps you may not, but let me help you with that. Now, the Greek word for the word truth is aletheia. Aletheia simply means unhide. You hide nothing. It's open. And the Hebrew understanding of the word truth is called emeth. Emeth simply means firmness. There is such a everlasting substance inside. It will never fade. You can rely on. You can trust in. So truth is something that it cannot be hidden, and yet it is firm. It is steady. It doesn't sway. So define truth to me then. Truth is a conformity to the facts and the reality of your life. Brothers and sisters, it is a statement of belief that corresponds to your reality. It is a statement of belief. Today, you and I look around and you can literally see there is so much of rejection of truth, especially God's truth, which lies behind all sorts of evil that we see in the society. And the sad thing is this, Christians give up the truth to compromise with the skepticism of the world. This is my concern. Because of this, it has forced me to look into the reality of truth. You see, Pontius Pilate, during the trial of Jesus Christ, asked this question, what is truth? That question has been echoing throughout ages. Echoing throughout ages. It is the greatest question of all time. Even till today, this question, what is true, could never be answered by many people. In fact, a lot of them tried to define truth through the lens of science. And sometimes they define truth through the lens or the ideology of philosophy. But truth is never found or conforming to this ideology or to this lens of science. We need to come back to this absolute truth, which is increasingly rejected by the culture of today. So let me help you to understand this truth by examining the conversation that Jesus had with Pontius Pilate in John chapter 18. First of all, I want you to see John 18, verse 36 to 38. Let me read to you. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth? what is true. Jesus says very clearly, I've been born, and for these I have come into this world to testify the truth. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came for this very powerful reason. Apart from the fact that you know that Jesus came to die for our sins, am I right or not? He died at the cross. But here we saw this scripture that Jesus came for this one powerful reason, to testify the truth. And the body of Christ is not testifying the truth. And this is a great concern, because the Bible says he came to bear witness, to testify to the truth. In fact, John 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Evidently, you can't have the life without the truth. Are you with me? You can't have the life. So when people say, I have Jesus' life, but they don't walk in truth, you don't have that life. You are deceiving yourself. What we are seeing here, the personification of the truth is always in Jesus Christ. So what is truth then? Brothers and sisters, it is God's authoritative biblical truth, which is precisely corrective to the worldly lifestyles, unholy mind, and ungodly behavior. Because all of these behaviors that we just read, they are unwarranted and increasingly poisonous that has already injected into the church. That's why we hear of report that young people slip in and have sex for one night. That's exactly what happened. And adults committing adultery in the body of Christ. And people that I was told gone into the mission field and have another family in the mission field. You may say, what? Are you sure? I am definitely sure. This is the problem where the church is now presenting to the world. That is why we are not declaring truth and we are not making an impact. The world is laughing at us. You see, brothers and sisters, the truth was meant to correct lifestyle. Isn't it true? It's meant to correct our lifestyle. And when sometimes people are being confronted with this idea and thoughts, how to correct their life, hey, they said, it's okay, I'm all right, nothing's wrong with me. Sure, nothing wrong with you. Not for now. Not for now. But when we start walking wrongly, we get ourselves into trouble. You see, when there is without truth, it's like someone giving medication with the wrong amount, and it can kill you. Isn't it true? Or perhaps it may be someone like you putting into the hands of an investment manager and then lost all your money when there is no truth. Without truth, it's like someone boarding on the wrong plane, going to the place where you do not want to go. Or perhaps without truth, it's like someone who got married to a man or a woman wrongly and then result in the destruction of the family, potentially getting into diseases and corruptions. Without truth, our outlook in life is now no difference to the world. We become like the world. We sing the song, heal this broken land. Yes, Lord, heal this broken land. We pray, God, heal. Touch, Lord, even the brokenness of the body of Christ. We pray. So what truth is not? Truth is not a personal opinion. Truth is not what you want the things to be. Oh, I just want this thing. Oh, truth is about the popular opinion polls that says this, therefore there is truth. No. It's not what the majority says. Brothers and sisters, you know, we need to understand what truth is. Truth is like giving life to the people. When the world insisted on abortion, truth cries out and say, don't kill the baby.
Truth is when the world says, vengeance is mine. But truth cries out and say, what you sow, you will reap. That's what truth is. We keep telling people, don't do this. Why? Why we said don't do it? Because you're sowing it. You're sowing into the society. You're sowing into your own life. In the near future, one may reap what they sow.
Brothers and sisters, truth is so vital. We need to look at the conversation that helps us define truth today. And once for all, let us walk in God's truth. Somebody say amen. Let us walk in God's truth. Pilate walks away immediately after he asked the question, what is truth? Immediately. You see, Pilate meets the greatest authority right in front of him. And not only that, he dismisses the greatest question, what is truth? And yet, he continued to commit the greatest crime. He walked away. You know, in our culture, anybody asks a question and just walk away is pretty rude, isn't it? You don't just walk away after asking the question. But you see, Pilate walked away because he wasn't ready to accept the statement that Jesus made. And let's see what they are. He was not ready. But I pray the body of Christ today will be ready. If some of us will grab hold of this truth, it's going to be a transformational power for your own life every day. You can deny it or you can receive it. It's all within your own heart. But I pray today, the very first thing is this. Truth is founded in Jesus Christ and in his kingdom. I'm going to go through the context that I have just read in John 18. If you follow through with me, you will understand this, the simple points of those facts, yet profound in consequence for your own life. Pilate makes a cynical remark. He said, are you the king of the Jews? You know, it's like saying, you sure you are a king? Pilate said, you sure? You got to be joking you are the king of the Jews. Are you a political king or are you the Messiah that they were talking about? John 18, 34. In fact, Jesus did not answer his question. Instead, Jesus questioned him. He says, are you saying these on your own initiative? You look at John 18, verse 34. He says, or did others tell you about me? He said, did someone tell you that? It's not like somebody would say, Pastor, you know, are you the one who, you know, who did this? I can't believe that because a friend of mine, when I went over to see him, he was one of my classmates, and they know my past, you know, and they know how naughty I was in school. And when he heard that I was a pastor, and he looked at me, he says, I got to have lunch with you. I just can't believe it. You are a pastor. He said that. I said, yeah, I'd love to have lunch with you. And so we did. He says, I can't believe you, that you are a pastor. And then I said, what gave you such a surprise? And he told me about what I did in school. I won't mention it, but bad enough for him to be shocked at, you know. And I know when my son Sean, he did a lot of naughty things in school. He thought I do not know, but well, that's fine. I did not know, but he was naughty. But he didn't know what I did before because I never tell him about what I did in school. All right, it can be very bad, but that's how naughty I was. But this guy said to Jesus, you sure you are a king? Can't believe that. You see, friends, John 18, 33, 34 is a continuation of the text that we just read. In fact, it was an earlier part. And Jesus said, If you have investigated, or are you relying on the second-hand charges of the Jewish leaders? And Pontius Pilate immediately answered the question. He says, why are you asking this? Am I a Jew? Now he responded with another question. Am I a Jew? It is your own nation, it is your own chief priests who are saying to me and accusing you. Now, the scripture went on to say, Jesus went to answer after he says, am I a Jew? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. He says, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. So Pilate said to him, are you saying now you're a king? And Jesus answered, you said correctly that I am a king. For these I have been born. You see, God knows. Jesus knew he was born to be the king. But he was not meant to be the king of the Jews. He was meant to be the king of everybody's lives who receive him. And for these I've come to the world to testify to the truth. Jesus plainly let Pilate know that politically his kingdom was no threat to Rome. Because Christ's kingdom functions under the governance of truth. The kingdom of God is functioning and run with truth. So listen to me, church. You can be in the church and yet not in God's kingdom. So in order for us to be found in his kingdom, the Bible tells me the kingdom of God is of power, of love, and of sound mind. Why is it the body of Christ fights? If you are not in God's kingdom, then there will be fights. Isn't it true? You can be in the church, it doesn't matter. But if you are not in God's kingdom, there will be fight. There will be jealousy. There will be bitterness. There will be quarrel. There will be people declaring to one another, you are stupid, and so forth. Why? Because they did not live in truth. Truth is found in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is governed by truth, brothers and sisters. So Pilate, he could not get the answer simply because he does not know who Jesus is. Do you know, in order for us to know the truth, we have to know Jesus. Somebody say amen. You have to know Jesus. Are you there with me? Am I touching your nerve? Somebody say amen. Praise God. You see, a lot of time we thought we know the truth, but if we do not know who Jesus is, if we do not know who that he is the Savior, he is the Lord and no one else. He is the Almighty God. If you do not know, if you are just declaring because of the lingo, if you are just saying because it is a natural thing for you to say, but if you do not believe in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your strength, if you do not believe that he is the Lord and no one else, we will never know the truth. Jesus said very clearly, John 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Pilate could not get the answer. He could not fathom the truth because he could not understand who Jesus is. If you and I do not know who he is, we will never understand the truth. Until we grasp the sovereignty, the lordship of Jesus, we can never understand the truth. Because it is in the truth that you will discover the powerful elements that will cause you to have the freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Somebody say amen. If the Son, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the thing that we are looking for, free. We want to be free. And so truth is far more than just a moral guide. Jesus declared again and again to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to my Father but by me. You know, the truth as it is being personified, we also understand that he is the source of all truth. He is the source, which means to say that in every aspect of your life, Jesus is supposed to be the point of reference for all actions and lifestyle. Whatever we do, how we carry out our lives, how we behave, how we communicate, how we talk, how we relate to one another, what we think about each other behind the back of another person, all that we do every day has a point of reference that Jesus is the truth. Because our action cannot be relating on the basis of what you think is right. It has to go back to the truth. You see, truth is divine and is spiritual. Truth is divine and spiritual. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It is spiritual. And the truth is divine. So in other words, when the truth is divine, we discover the truth is the nature of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me one more time. Truth is the nature of the Holy Spirit. Now do you understand why we keep on saying worship God in spirit and in? Why do we need to worship God in spirit and in truth? Because that truth is the governing factor of your behavior. You understand what I'm saying? It's the governing factor. So it changes your life. Church, we are encouraging you and trying to help you to get on to that realm and worship God in genuine spirit and in genuine truth, because that's the way your life can be changed. We often ask this question, why is life not changed? Why is the life not changed? Why is the person living as a Christian for so many years and life is not changed? We never thought about it. My mother said this one word to me when I accepted Jesus Christ back in the house. She says, how is that your life is so different? Why is your life changed? And that gave me the opportunity to actually share the gospel to my mother. Because my life was not the kind of life that my parents were pleased at. Until Jesus came and brought that change. You see, church, it's not about coming to church. It's about coming into God's kingdom. Because that's where truth is. Truth does not arise from society, does not arise from culture. Truth is the nature of the Holy Spirit. Truth must be carried out in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Truth must be done and be worked at by the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13, as I said earlier, it is said this way, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. We are here to be governed by truth. All things are measured by God himself and himself alone. God is the final judge of the truth. John 18, 37, Jesus testifies this. He told Pilate, he said, you said correctly that I am the king. For these I have been born, for these I have come into the world, and to testify the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus indicated very clearly that he was born, and he said, I came into this world to be a king. The way he establishes his kingdom is not by military force. The truth is, whether you believe it or not today, spiritual truth is not determined by pragmatism. It's not whether it works or not. Truth is founded in the person Jesus Christ. Some of you may say, well, I think this will work. I think this strategy will work. We love supernatural strategy that God opens the door. Somebody say, amen. God does that. Not anyone here can do. God does that. But you see, sometimes you and I will just go about and we say, well, this one, you work on this, 1 + 1 = 2, then it must work. Pragmatism. You see, truth is not what makes people feel good. I know a lot of people say truth hurts, amen? Truth hurts. But I tell you what, truth hurts, but lies destroy. Are you there? Truth hurts, but lies destroy. So unfortunately, we do have bad news that can be appropriated, and it works. It makes people feel good. You know, if I look at so-and-so, and I know the kid is naughty, and I'll tell, it's okay, you are a good boy. It's not going to help this child. Neither would I say you are a bad boy. I would say, son, you got a serious problem. You need to work on that. Are you with me? That's exactly what the society is going through. There's so much lack of spiritual truth that is centered on Jesus Christ. We know it is revealed in His Word. We know it's revealed in the person. You know, Jesus is different from all other leaders. All other leaders say, I teach. I'm seeking for truth. I'll teach the truth. But Jesus clearly said, I am the truth. So in order for us to walk in truth, we have to walk in with the person. Because it's very clearly stated and personified. Even Pilate said, what is truth? You see, he doesn't realize that truth is the self-expression of God. That is truth. The Bible says God is truth. So in other words, it's nothing to do with how you feel. Today you may say, I feel good. Doesn't mean what you're feeling is right. You may say, I just want to get this thing done. Doesn't mean that is right. So I do not know what you think today. But if you oftentimes tell me that this is how I feel, my question is this based on the point of reference that Jesus is the truth? Is your behavior and action derives from the point of reference that Jesus is the truth? Oh, Dad, Mom, I just want to do this. It's not whether you want to do it. It's whether the point of reference is based on truth. And that's exactly what the Church of Jesus Christ needs to get into. It's not about how you feel. Let's look at the second point. Truth is often avoided, but actually demands a decision. When truth is spoken, every time when truth is declared, there will be a call for response. There will be a call for a decision. It demands a decision. When someone speaks the truth to you, it demands a decision for you to do that. You see, I believe Pilate's reply, what is true, was said also in a cynical sense. He was asking and then immediately he walked away. But Jesus said this very clearly in John 18, verse 37. He says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So what Jesus is saying, hey, Pilate, hold on. Hold on, don't just walk away. If I use the contemporary English, don't walk away. Listen. If you know the truth, you listen to what I'm going to say. It's the same thing. The Church of Jesus Christ today comprises of people walking away from His presence. Because the world seemingly is more attractive. I tell you why the world is very attractive. You know why? Because you guys are watching the medias. The media makes the worldly offers very attractive. Are you with me? The church doesn't have much medias to promote. What we have is the Word and the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. If you lean on to the truth, then you lean on to His Word and the person. But the world is offering, that's why people just decided to walk away. And Jesus told Pilate, are you going to walk away? Listen, if you know the truth, you listen to my voice. And I think to myself, you know what? Jesus is not on trial. I think Pilate is on trial. I think Pilate is now being placed on the platform. Are you answering the question? Are you listening to my voice? You know, people today who have asked the question, I have people who ask questions. You know, some of them don't really ask questions just simply because they are interested in your answer. Do you know what I'm talking about? They are not interested in your answer. They ask the question just to challenge you. They ask the question not because they are interested in your answers of truth. So normally when people do that, I would say, are you interested in what I'm saying? He has to answer that question before I say any further. Because if you are not interested, then I'm not going to talk about it unless you are interested in hearing what I have to say. Brother and sister, do you know something? When Pilate asked a question in front of Jesus Christ and he walked away, it gives me the picture that many a time when we face up with people and we are afraid that our sins are exposed, we are afraid to come to the Lord's presence because we are afraid that our sins will be shown. We are afraid that God will speak to me and tell me, oh no, God, you are just revealing the ugliness of my heart. I remember one pastor said this in this church. He says, I had a member who has a broken arm, and when I ask him can I pray for him, he says, no, if you pray for me and I'm healed, I can't get the Centrelink support. Did you know what I'm talking about? So a lot of time we are afraid what God wants to do in our lives. Even though we are exposed with the things that God says change. In the light of Christ's holiness, in the light of God's goodness, we are demanded to make a decision. But we are afraid. You see, sometimes it may appear like a small decision, but I want you to know there is a huge, major, eternal consequence. Probably the major problem here that keeps people away from the truth is just simply the word pride. And you know what? Proverbs 6 verse 16 to verse 19 give us the first six problems that the Lord hates. He detested six of this issue. And the first one that was mentioned is haughty eyes, the pride. Let's read at Proverbs 6, verse 16. He says he hates all this. All right? Listen to this. These are the 16 the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Number one, haughty eyes, pride. Number two, a lying tongue. That's why I don't like people to just simply accuse, oh, you're a liar. Don't simply call people a liar unless they follow the father of all lies. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pulls out lies. And a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Divisive person. God hates that. You see, I'm afraid the truth is this. What people are afraid of in terms of hearing God's truth is because of the pride. Their pride. They do not want people to get inside of them. And sometimes God gave revelation. And, you know, I ministered to many different churches. And when I altar call and ministered to individuals, I do not know why God wants me to reveal their problem. I said, God, if you just give me good news to reveal the good things to them, I'm sure they're very happy. But unfortunately, the gifts that God gave me is to reveal their problem. Do you think I like that? I don't like it. But I just have to obey what the Lord says. And when I do that, the worst thing is this. The members will go to the pastor and say, did you tell him? Did you tell him? No. The Lord reveals. The Lord reveals. And I want you to know, when there is truth, God exposes our problems. God did that with me. God changed my life. God took the ugliness inside of my life and start to work on. Yes, some people say that I'm very, confrontational, very straightforward. I'm one person just don't like to beat around the bush. Because the person who beat around the bush landed up in wilderness. His name is Moses. Don't beat around the bush. Just tell me exactly what it is like, whether you like it or you don't like it. I'm here to help you change the journey of your life towards the future. Because ultimately, you'll be blessed and I rejoice with you. Not that you will share your blessing with me. I'm sure you won't. But if you wish to, I'll just give you my account. People are afraid because they are afraid to be honest with their choices. They are afraid to be honest with their decisions. I pray that you will not be afraid. Allow God to search deep inside you. Amen? Let truth prevail. And the third thing is this. Truth must be diligently sought after. Too many people are just, relaxed. As this is a very Australian lifestyle. Relax a bit. John 18:37, Jesus answered. He said, "You say that I am the king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify the truth." I'm repeating this scripture. Take note of that. Because these are the emphasis. And he says, "Everyone on the side of truth." Listen. "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." How can you be on the side if you do not diligently seek? We live in a society where we often go about looking for the right person to get the right help. Am I right or not? Okay? And if you have a problem with your faucet or the tap, you seek a plumber to get help. Am I right? Don't call me. Just call the plumber. I call Azahel for the right thing to do. Amen? If you want him to demolish your fence, he can. And then he will build it up again. Praise God. Amen? You need the right person. You need to seek the doctors to help you with your pain and aches. Am I right or not? You don't go to Nathaniel, Nathan, to come and say, "Oh, my body aches. Can you help me out?" He can't do anything. He'll pray for you, that's for sure. Yeah, then after that, he send you to the doctor. Uber driving. And we seek counselors. We seek counselors for what? To listen to some of our emotional struggles and many different fears and pressures. Am I right? Everybody lives with a lot of pressures because we live in a paganistic society. We have pressures to raise godly children. Am I right? How to raise up godly children? And we go through economic problems. We go through financial situation, personal problems, problems with friends and loved ones. All these are pressures. But we seek counselors. But never have I ever heard from anyone who says, "I desire to seek truth so that I can be free from the clutches of the devil's hand." We seek for all these professional people, but we never seek truth that will help to set us free. John 8:36, Jesus says, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." What is your spiritual drive to seek the truth? What is it that would inspire you to seek the truth? John 8:31. Right at the early part of the chapter, he says, "So he said to the Jews who have believed him, 'If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples.'" Then in verse 32, he says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Listen to that verse. Can I read that again? He says, "If you continue in my word." Hello? If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. I don't mean to just have the word today and tomorrow I gallivant everywhere. I don't care about the word. No, if you continue with my word, you continue to walk in my word, you continue to live in my word, you are my disciple. And then he did not stop there. He said, then you will know the truth. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Why people walked away from Jesus Christ. People give a lot of excuses. I don't have this. I got no friends. I got no one to talk to. Nobody helped me. Nobody do this. Because they do not know the truth. They refuse to live by the word. The word is so dangerous to them. And they're so afraid, because they are so afraid that their sins will be exposed. What is it that inspired you to seek the truth then? You know what John chapter 20, 27, 28, I'm sure you know the story of Thomas. He did not believe until he touches the hand of Jesus Christ. Am I right or not? And when he touches, he says, my Lord and my God. He finally discovered, wow, Jesus, you are raised up. You are alive. And when he got so excited, Thomas, one of the greatest disciples who went straight to India to minister to the Indian people, though he died, but he brought the gospel. What a great man, isn't it true? What a great man. Because of the resurrection power. How can you and I turn away and walk out when the resurrection power is the evidence of abundant life? You see, friends, what inspires me to do more justice to the call of God, to study His Word and pray and seek His face? Because Jesus is alive. Amen. He's raised from the dead. That inspires me to read His word. It's not my circumstances. It's not how big the church is. It's not how small the church is. It's not the problem that I have. It's about the resurrection power. Are we walking with that inspiration? Because I will seek His truth simply because He's alive. All that He says is yea and amen. All that He has done is not just a story, but they are testimony of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. It was the faithfulness of the Almighty God. It was His grace, His love, His mercy that has rested upon you. He is alive. Because He's alive, you enjoy the inheritance of His goodness. Oh, brothers and sisters, why do we want to study the Word of God? Why do we want to study the Word of God? Michael just announced to you, we have a Bible study. 1 Peter, 5 chapters. And he says, wow, the book is thick. Yeah. How much does it cost? $10. It's value for money, he said. I said, brother, it's not the book that is value of money, it's the content that is value of money. It took me 3 months to sit down and study 5 to 7 authors and compile their notes so that you can have the gems of the Word of God. And you know what? People just decided, I don't have time to study God's Word. What do you mean you don't have time? You don't have time to study God's Word? Then Jesus gave Himself, all of Himself to you? We don't have that 1.5 hours to study God's Word? Brothers and sisters, I hope that the reality of His resurrection will drive you right into the truth. Oh, I sometimes it's set in my heart every time I look back at the body of Christ, and I heard some pastor says, oh, Calvin, you know, we nowadays that everybody's so busy, we can't even have cell group, we can't even have a Bible study, we can't even have prayer meetings. What do you think my answer will be? He was telling me the condition of what the church is going through. My question is this. What has Jesus done for them? What has the Lord done for us? I pray that God will help me that we can see the truth and claim the truth today, because the truth has the power to set you free. Oh, brothers, I do not know what you're thinking. God's truth has the power to set you free. I don't care what your behavior in the past. God's truth has the power to break the chains in Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. I don't care what you have gone through in the past. But if you believe that the truth can set you free, then come and learn the truth. We worship God in spirit and in truth. The more we worship Him in spirit and truth, our life will continue to change. Oh, Lord, help us, the body of Christ in the world today. And we cried out, God, have mercy on us. We need truth. We need the truth to be the foundation of the church. We need the truth to be established here. When truth is established here, the kingdom of God is here. But when there is no truth, there is no kingdom of God. Are you with me? There is no truth. There is no kingdom of God in your home. Are you establishing truth in the house? In your own home? Are you speaking truth? Oh, just a little bit of lies. I'm sure God understands. Just a little bit. You know, there is a word called white lies. White lies. Try to put a termite inside your house. Just put one. Just one termite. Just one. One little termite. Put inside your house. And see what happened to your house in the near future. White lies. We use all kinds of ways to justify ourselves, isn't it? But brothers and sisters, this is a very powerful thing. When you have the truth, you will begin to see the way God sees. Can I say that again? If you have the truth, you will see the way God sees. Because God's word is settled in heaven. In Psalms 119, verse 89, Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the word of our God will stand forever. The truth will always stand. Fashion may change. As you can see, every day, everybody is wearing different clothing. Fashion changes. Fashion may change, but truth remains throughout ages. We all change every year. We all change in terms of fashion every year. Some of you have seen my younger photos. Nobody believed that. It was not Photoshop. It was very clear. I have a lot of hair. And being the youngest in the home, I do not know why that I'm the very first one to lose all the hair. Somewhere along the line, it was miscalculated. My third brother has more hair. He's much older than me. He's very old, but he's much older than me. But he's still got a lot of hair. But I could literally see that his hair is also receding, praise God. But then the older ones has more hair than both of us. That's a funny thing. The youngest has the least hair. And I realize, under God's anointing, my hair decided to be raptured first. And when I go to heaven, they will prepare me my Afro hairstyle. There will be beautiful hair. And it will be gold in color, by the way. It's all prepared right there. Fashion change. I remember my second son says, I got no hair. There's no much of a fashion to work on. I normally let them say, because I remember many years ago, one of the Bible school students, one year my senior, he was laughing at me because my hair was receding. And then about a month later, his hair was also receding. I said, brother, what you sow, you shall reap. So it's a great reminder to Brian that never say anything much about my hair. Those days, I'm sure those of you who are my era or even earlier, we used to have belt-bottom pants. Right? Belt-bottom, big one. My brother was describing that to Tamara the other day. You know, the belt-bottom, it was such a fashion. You got to have that. You got to have the high heel shoes and you walk, that must be... I couldn't imagine. Those were the days. Those were the days. And we keep our hair long and we cover up. Oh, man, that was a groovy time, isn't it? Huh? Our fashion always changed, isn't it right? Some of you laugh today. Give yourself another 20 years. I do not know what sort of fashion is going to come out. And then you look at yourself, man, your children will probably look at you and say, what kind of fashion is that? Fashion change. But at the end, we know the word never change. Please don't go around and tell people, Sid, you are from the older era, you know, you don't understand, things have changed and your life is different, you know, yours is old fashioned, mine is a new fashion. I want you to know this. Listen carefully. Those are just fashion. It changes. I know. It really changes. But when it comes to the truth of God, what has happened during Adam's time is still happening today. What happened during Abraham's time is still happening today. So never say that the truth of yesteryears is different from today. No. It's just merely the methods and techniques and technologies that kept changing. But the principles of God's truth never change. And some people think that when I say something, it's like a foreign thing. Huh? What are you talking about? Pastor, that is a bit abrasive, you know? You know? I tell you what. Get the truth into your life, and you see that your walk is steady and stable. Because today, you may be walking like a drunken person, not knowing what truth is all about. My challenge to you is this. If you look carefully into the Word, it tells me that I do not need to look anywhere else because the word truth is singular. Look at the word, truth. I don't have to look anywhere else. I just need to look into Christ. Look into His Word. That will be the truth. It's singular. And by the way, truth is in the mind of God. And there is no contradictions. Truth has no contradictions. And not only that, truth applies from one generation to another. That's why we need truth. That's why we need to speak into the next generation what truth is all about. The Bible says in the Old Testament, write it on the doorposts, write into their hearts, speak to them while they are lying down, speak to them while they are sitting there, speak to your children, the Bible says. What do? We only give them the moral guide, but we did not tell them, hey, Jesus truly loves you. Do you know why I say Jesus loves you? Explain it to your children. Explain it. You know, the other day I was at Eating's place and I was praying with her and the little girl Amelia, while she was in the room and Amelia came and took the Bible, children's Bible, and brought to me and opened up a beautiful Bible. I said, where do you get that? Said, my mommy bought for me, but it's not from here. Wow. I said, praise God. She opened up and I said, what do you do with the Bible? She said, my mommy reached to me. And that's exactly what we need to do today. We don't bring program into children's life. We bring the personal Savior to the children's life. We read them the scripture. Brothers and sisters, truth never change. It will always be there. And Jesus said very clearly, everyone who is of the truth or on the side of the truth hears my voice. The day will come when everybody will bow their hearts and their lives before the great I am and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will confess before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the Word of Truth. And they will declare before the world and said, you are my Lord. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The day will come where everyone will bow before the truth. The truth can never be denied. The truth can never be avoided. The truth demands a decision, demands you to make a choice. The truth will always call upon you and say, come and know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It is the Word of God that we need to go back. It is the truth that is founded in Jesus Christ that we need to return. It is no other person except Him. We can never understand the truth until we know Jesus Christ. It is not by knowledge, it is not by anything, but it is by your relationship with Jesus. Are you with me today? Truth is embedded in the person call Jesus. In order for you to know, you need to draw out the truth from Him. And when you draw that out, you say, Abba, Father, I am so blessed because your truth has caused so much change in me, has taken away the things that I struggle with, because your truth has exposed my weakness, and truly, you are my strength. I pray God will help all of us as the body of Christ. Let us grow with truth. Let us stand for truth. Let us speak the truth, because ultimately, what you sow, you will reap. When you put truth, you're going to reap truth. Somebody say amen. 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 Give all the glory to Him. Come on, somebody, just give all the glory. I want you to stand together to your feet right now.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.